Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless. Challengers, so glad to see you as well. James, chapter number 3. You got to say amen. If you don't have it, just look on the screen. You can still say amen. James, chapter number 3. We're going to be reading the first 12 verses. Here's what it says. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. All of us got some issues. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When you put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes a great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is like a fire, a world of evil or iniquity among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame that mouth of their tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can. Salt spring produces a fresh water. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. Before you take your seat, you do me a favor. Will you look at your neighbor, because I want you to introduce. I want y'all got the sermon insert, so you know what the sermon title is going to be already. I want y'all to get all kind of your mama's spirit in you, what she would say to you when you said something you ain't supposed to say. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, watch your mouth. Okay, y'all got it. Let's see, somebody else just caught on. Look at another neighbor. I want you to feel it. Like they just said something they should not have said. Look at them and say, neighbor, good morning. Good to see you. Glad you're in church. This morning's sermon is, watch your mouth. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Watch your mouth. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease, that you increase mightily, that these, your people, would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silent now, I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. Lord, prepare our minds and our hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Watch your mouth. So we're in a sermon series called Necessary Sins, where we talk about those sins that we do regularly, but because we do them regularly, it's not, we ain't murdering nobody, we ain't stealing. It's, you know, it's some simple stuff. So for us, these things be just absolutely necessary. And so, brothers and sisters, on last week, we dealt with one of our necessary sins when we talked about hating you is hurting. I mean, sometimes we think holding on to hate helps us to survive. And then before that, we dealt with a good lie. You know, those good lies where I ain't going to tell you the truth because I want to remain your friend. So I'm just going to lie to you and tell you you okay, you really nice, you are really that smart. So I'm just, you might not be that, you ain't dumb, but you ain't that. But I'm just going to tell you, you know, we have those kind of good lies. And so we deal with necessary sins. And so today we're going to look at one that impacts many of us. Let me tell you this at the outset. This particular type of sermon series is not my norm, where I take one text and I just stay right in that text. But for this one, we're dealing with a particular topic. And so I'm going to reference a few scriptures. And so I want you to stay along with me. You have them also in your inserts as well, so you can follow along with me. We live in a culture that loves, oh y'all, I mean loves, to gossip. We love to gossip or to spread. When my mama's cousin's next door neighbor's half brother said that he heard that Kim left Michael, you know, we love to gossip. Have you ever been in a conversation and had to ask yourself, hold up now, am I gossiping? Am I just saying this? Have you ever been in a conversation where you heard other people gossip and it made you feel uncomfortable just being there? You're like, I don't want to be around this. Y'all too nasty. Y'all just messy. The other day, as a matter of fact, I had lunch with the minister Rawls, and he and I were talking, and I said, you know what? There's something I wanted to say, but I'm really sure if it was gossiping, because I can't gossip before preaching the sermon. So I had to literally check myself. Have you ever been in a situation where you checked yourself to say, oh, wait, I don't want nobody to say I'm gossiping? Or what we'll do is we'll say, now listen, I ain't gossiping, but I'm going to tell you this. No. You are. Oh, we hit him with the, listen, I'm just going to go tell nobody else this, okay? I'm just going to tell this to you. Tell nobody else. And then you get home, it's all over Facebook, CNN, and picked up on it. Your mama call you. Girl, did you? This is how it is. Gossiping is all around us. And for many of us, it seems to be a normal part of our day. Almost every reality show out today survives on gossip. As a matter of fact, all of the shows have gossip, and then just to finish off with gossip, they have a reunion or a finale. They'll send everybody down, and then they just start listing all the gossip. Now, Keisha, you remember the first episode, you said that Kim was ugly, so what do you think about that, Kim? We just survive on gossip. Millions of dollars are made every year because somebody buys those tabloids that, you know, they put them right next to, like, Snickers and Skittles. So when you check out, you can't miss them. And they're going to tell you who's dating who cheating on who gained weight, who lost weight, whose baby mama slashed somebody's tire. They tell us all of these stories, and it's the tab. Somebody buys. And we live in a culture that feeds and craves gossip. And the same is true in church. Did she wear that last week? I bet. He only here to pick up somebody at church. Child, look at how bad them little kids are. Did he just wink at her? No, we come to church and we be, praise the Lord. Wait a minute. Now, you done said all kinds of stuff, gossiping. And so we just live amongst gossip. Watch this. Researchers say that we speak between 18 and 25,000 words per day. Did you know that 18? That's a whole bunch of talking. But some say, brothers, we speak 25,000 words, but sisters, they say y'all speak 30,000 words per day. So, fellas, that's in the men's small group. Ours would get out probably a little bit earlier than women because we ain't got all that much. So, nevertheless, all right, so 30,000 words a day. But watch this. Here's one reason we need to watch what we say. This amazed me. Scientists say that once a sound wave is set in motion, It stays in the atmosphere. And they say, if we had the technology, we could capture every sound and replay every sound that's ever been uttered. Let me help you understand what I'm saying here. Scientists say, once you say something, it stays in the atmosphere. And as soon as them jokers create the technology, they're going to be able to capture and replay what you said in the room about your mama after she had beat you. Could you imagine all of the stuff? Just yesterday, let me be careful, because if that ever comes up and they put that app on the iPhone and somebody want to find out if you've been talking about them, how many of us know we would just be in all kinds of trouble? So we've got to watch our mouth. James in the text challenges us as Christians because he wants us to understand that what we say reflects how real our faith is. Because true faith in God is demonstrated not only by what you do, but also by what you say. For James, this is an important matter. As a matter of fact, in every single chapter of this particular letter, James references something about what we say. Every chapter, James mentioned. And here we are in chapter 3, and James wants us to see that whenever you take part in gossiping or spreading rumors or tearing people down, you are demonstrating that you have little or no faith in God. And I don't care how much you go to church or how many gospel songs you sing or whether you speak in tongues known or unknown, it don't matter. If you take part in gossiping, rumors, and tearing people down, James says you have little or no faith at all. James is saying, I can tell a lot about who you are by what you say. First of all, brothers and sisters, here's what we see, that what we say has power. What we say has power. In March 1862, the AME publication called The Christian Recorder wanted to help young black kids learn not to retaliate in a hateful way when others began to call them rude and nasty names. And so they began to have kids rehearse this phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words would never hurt me. You know, some of y'all grew up in school saying that because people kept messing with you, and so your little sassy way of responding was, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words would never hurt me. They had good intentions, and I know they were well-meaning, but the reality is that is a lie. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can kill me. Words can kill me in such a way that I would be too alive to be dead, but too dead to be alive. I'm simply existing, but don't want to, because of the words that somebody has spoken over my life. You are ugly and will always be ugly. Your mama don't want you. I don't love you. You must be stupid. Words have power. Not only that, I know words have power because when we read the Bible, John puts it this way: in the beginning was the Word. The first book of the Bible lets us know that God, in essence, stood up in nowhere, stepped up on nothing. And the Bible says, God said, one of my favorite preachers, Prince of Preaching, Gardner C. Taylor, put it this way: God said, let. And when God said, let, legions of possibilities stood up. Yeah. When God said, let there be, all that could be started straining to become. Only on the power of God's word. In essence, God looked over at nothing and said, nothing, you ought to try to be something. God looked at nowhere and said, nowhere, you ought to become somewhere. All by the authority and the power of his word. God had nothing to work with but his own word. And that's all he needed, because words have power. Elijah in 1 Kings chapter number 17 tells Ahab, he says, King Ahab, because of how you are acting, it won't rain until I say so. It won't rain until my word says it'll rain. There was a drought for 3 years until Elijah said, I smell rain. Matthew chapter number 8, a centurion comes to Jesus and says to Jesus, Jesus, my servant is sick. He has been paralyzed
and he's in agony because of what he's going through. Jesus says, I'll come and I'll heal him. And the centurion soldier, who wasn't even Jewish, said, Jesus, you ain't even got to do that. You ain't got to come all the way to my house. Anybody got time for that? Listen, Jesus, I understand authority and power. I said to one soldier, I want you to go over there. And another soldier, I want you to come here. Because I said so, they do exactly what I say. Jesus, you don't have to come. All you got to do is say a word and he'll be healed. Because the soldier understood that there was authority and power in words. I have a dream, had the ability to inspire within a group of people something that said, I'm just going to push on for a bright side somewhere. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. A word that had the ability to inspire a drive and desire within a nation, give me liberty or give me death, had the ability to spark something in a whole birthing of a nation, because words have power. Brothers and sisters, James wants us to understand that what we say is important. He first says, don't be quick to become a teacher because you'll be judged more strictly. I read this and I wondered why that he mentioned that you'll be judged more strictly as a teacher. James, you talking about gossiping, watching your mouth. I don't understand why you would say this. Here's why. In the Jewish culture, James is writing to Jewish people. They held high esteem for teachers, rabbis, people in authority. And so when they said something, people heard what they said and they took it to heart. And so he's saying, listen, don't be quick to be in authority over people, because what you say has power in their lives. Okay, some of y'all missed it, so let's make a connection from James to your life and my life. Here it is. Every evening, Monica, that's her name, Monica, she would leave work. Monica would drive the daycare to pick up her four-year-old son named Kevin. She'd pick Kevin up right after work, put Kevin in the car. He's 4 years old. Monica would drive home. Monica would then get on her cell phone and she would talk to her homegirl. And Monica would say, child, oh my God, I can't stand Judy. Judy is so stupid. Judy just gets on my nerves. The whole ride home, Monica just talks about Judy. Now, Kevin is just looking out the window, 4 years old, minding his business. His mama is on the phone, going in on Judy. Well, one day they had a bring your child to work day. Kevin's such a cute little boy. She loved her. So she had pictures all over her desk of her son. And so she brought to work and she showed him her homegirl and she hang out with lunch and everything. Oh, y'all. That's him. Oh, you so cute. Then she said, Judy. She said, Kevin, this is my boss, Judy. And Kevin said, ugly Judy, you so stupid. He just went off. My mama can't stand you. You get on her nerves. And now, all of a sudden, Monica looked like, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm going to lose my job. Because words have power. My brothers and my sisters, we learn a lot from a person by what they say. Because words have power. James, the text helps us to understand the kind of power that words have. Here it is. Secondly, we see that what you say, this is the kind of power it has, what you say can destroy. What you say can destroy. James says you can start a forest fire with just a little flame, and the tongue is a fire, the very world, or rather system of iniquity. October 8, 1871, at about 8:30 in the evening, a lantern in Mrs. O'Leary's barn was believed to have been kicked over by one of her cows. October 8th, Google it yourself. Y'all got phones, Google it. October 8th, 1871, about 8:30 in the evening. Cow kicked over a lantern. That's it, in her barn, at her house. All of a sudden, because of that, it started the Great Fire of Chicago. And 17,500 buildings were destroyed. 300 people died. And 125,000 people were left homeless, all because a cow kicked over a lantern in a barn. But the fire raged on. It's amazing that all fire needs to keep going is something to burn. All it needs is some fuel to run with. Let's try it another way. All that gossip needs is somebody to keep on carrying it. And gossip has the ability to make its way around the whole world.
world before good news even gets its shoes on, is how one person puts it. My brothers and my sisters, what we say has the ability to destroy somebody's life. James makes one of the strongest statements in scripture about gossiping. He said that what you say is like a fire. He says it is the world of iniquity. The word world does not mean the physical world, but rather world systems. He's saying when you take part in gossiping, you're taking part in a system of evil, a system of sin, a system of destruction. Then he says that the destructive fire is started in hell. Let me teach you a little bit. Remember last week I talked to us about that word hell. Hell means Gehenna. Gehenna is a place on the south side of Jerusalem where they would throw trash, they would throw a human waste, they would also have dead animals, and there were some dead bodies that were in this trash. In other words, he's saying when you're gossiping, you are literally taking part and picking up mess and beginning to carry it around. He's saying that the destructive nature of gossip starts in a pile of mess, and when you spread it, you show that you really don't have faith in God. Some of us don't know the impact of gossip because we don't see it. I love this. We don't know the impact of our gossip because we don't see it. You know, you can say something about somebody and then a year later it hits that person. Let's try another way. Some of y'all are so good at gossiping, you're like special forces for gossiping. You are a gossip sniper. I'm helping to understand this. You will shoot somebody and then sit next to them at lunch and watch them get hit by what you said. I'm so smart. Oh, they said what? And you know you once saw good. Oh, you so good at gossiping. I remember this. Listen, before Easter, this hit me. I emailed my staff. I do what's called batch stuff. I up 2-3 in the morning and I front load lots of stuff. So I typed up like 9 emails and I schedule them to go out to the staff, just inspiring them for leadership, right? Now, I get courtesy copy of the emails. This went on for about 9 weeks. About the 7th week, I got an email and it had my name on it. I'm mad because I think somebody done broke into my account and emailed me because I had forgotten that I had already sent this out, and it came back to hit me, and I'm surprised by it myself. Sometimes, my brothers and my sisters, we can be so smooth with what we say about somebody. We sit right next to them, and a year later, we hit them and say, come on, I would never say nothing about that. I can't believe it. Let me prove it. Psalms chapter number 64. He's going to put it on the screen for us. Psalm chapter number 64 puts it like this. Verses 1 through 6 says, hear me. This is David talking. Hear me, my God, as I voice my complaint. Protect my life from the threat of the enemy. He says, hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from the plots of the evildoers. They sharpen their tongues like swords and aim cruel words like deadly. It's amazing. An arrow, I can aim it over here, and then I can walk off and the arrow will shoot somebody over there, and they looking around like, who just hit me with that? Gossip has the ability for you to start it over here and then look like you had nothing else to do with it later on. Sometimes, my brothers and my sisters, we take part. And then he says this, verse 3, he says, they sharpen their tongues like swords and aim cruel words like deadly arrows. They shoot from the ambush at the innocents. They shoot suddenly without fear. Then it says they encourage each other in evil plans. They talk about hiding their snares. They say, who gonna see us? Who gonna know I did this? Who gonna know I am gossiping? My brothers and my sisters, gossiping is a deadly arrow that so many of us have become so perfect at it, we don't even consider gossiping no more. I'm just smooth with what I do. And so what James wants us to understand is that is a destructive nature. Watch this. Essence Magazine, February 2016. Tasha Cobbs was singing the song Break Every Chain. Tasha Cobbs is an amazingly gifted, talented artist. Essence, February 2016. Tasha Cobbs says, for years, I was a worship pastor at my church. A dream center, Bishop William Murphy down in Atlanta. She's 4 or 5 years, she's serving on staff there. She's worshiping. She says she's leading the whole congregation in worship. Everybody is
break every chain. Break, they all just slain in the spirit. She said, in that service, I would hug people and I would pray for people. I would kiss babies and I would go home. I would change clothes. I would put on something big. I would close the blinds. I would cover up and I would stay shut in my room for 3 days. So much so that my cousin moved out because it was so depressing. She said she would cover herself up and she would begin to rehearse in her mind the word that others had said about her. They don't really want you. They just want your talent. Don't nobody care about you. She's gifted and she's leading thousands of people. But the words that she had heard were destroying her on the inside. My brothers and my sisters, words have power. Some of us know the impact of it because when you were young, somebody said something to you that still impacts you to this day because words have destructive power. How many fires have you started? How many arrows have you shot? How many of your words are still looking for targets? James is saying, don't tell me that you have faith in God, but you gossip about your coworker. Don't tell me that you got faith in God, but you gossip about your friend. Don't tell me that you have faith in God, but you are the one telling everybody else's business. Gossiping people like to talk to gossiping people because it's like a fire that needs some fuel to go on. I love the poster. It says, don't tell me what they said about me. Tell me why they felt comfortable telling you this information. No, that's fine. They're going to talk about it. But why they told you? They all realize that you and I are cool and you're not the one that's going to hear their drama. I'll give you an example. One of my preacher friends, cool brother, he ain't perfect, but somebody texted me. Now, y'all pray for me. Pray for me. Somebody texted me some negative stuff about my friend, and my response was, go play in traffic. Now, pray for Pastor Ball, but I don't deal in negativity. I don't have time for it. I've got too much going on in my life to try to grab the fire that you're spitting about somebody else. As you can learn a lot about a person by what they say. Are your words destroying people? Not only that, he says, words have power. Words can be destructive. Then we need to learn something, brothers and sisters, that words can also be uplifting. Words can be uplifting. I'm out of your way. There's one example, Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 5. And Jesus is interacting with a man that is paralyzed. His friends have brought the paralyzed man to Jesus. Doesn't tell us why the man is paralyzed. Jesus says to him, in front of people who are hating on Jesus, Jesus says to the man, doesn't touch him, doesn't spit on his face, doesn't rub his leg. Jesus simply says to him, take up your mat and walk. Jesus spoke an uplifting word in this man's life. Peter and them were going one day, going into the temple, and they saw a man who was begging. He was lame. And man said, give me some money. They looked at him and said, listen, bro. We in church, so we ain't got silver and gold. But what I do have is an uplifting word. Get up and walk. Jesus nailed to a cross. There was a thief on the cross who was going to die, and his eyes will be opened up in hell. And even from a cross, Jesus looked at a dying thief and spoke an uplifting word to him and said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. As a matter of fact, if you think about your own life and how many times Jesus has come in to your life and said, while they said you are nothing, while they said you won't accomplish anything, while they said your life doesn't matter, while they said you are a nobody, Jesus came in and said, you are loved, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I know the thoughts that I have for you, thoughts of good and not evil, thoughts of trust for you and to see you. He knew how to speak an uplifting word to you, and that uplifting word had the ability to transform your life. My brothers and my sisters, James wants us to understand that I can learn a lot about a person by what they say. If you say you love the Lord, does your talk add up with that? If you say that you have faith in God, does what you say every single day of your life now add up with that? Are you speaking words that destroy people or words that lift them? He doesn't tell us how to choose. He simply lets us understand that when you speak words of destruction, know that it's coming from Gehenna, a place of mess, a place of trash, a place that destroys. It's like a fire. Once it starts, it destroys everything around him. Not only that, here's what he says. I love it. He says it doesn't just destroy other people. It destroys you. Because when you are gossiping, something inside of you begins to break down, because now you don't value yourself, you don't really value your relationship with God, and you don't value others. Oh, but when you speak uplifting words, it has the ability to transform you. It's a joy to be able to look at somebody and say, God is doing something great in your life. It's a joy to look at somebody who has tears in their eyes and say, you matter to God. My brothers and my sisters, every single day we have 18 to 25,000 words. Unless you are a woman, you've got 30,000 words that you say every single day. And you've got to choose, are you going to speak life?
Yes, sir.
Or are you going to speak death? Because the Bible teaches us, my brothers and my sisters, that life and death is in the power of the tongue. I'm out of your way. James wants us to understand that what we say has power. Some of us view gossiping as a necessary part of our lives, and we never really understand the impact that it has in someone else's life. There's all kinds of stories of people hearing the negativity that others have said about them, and they make the decision that I don't want to deal with it anymore. I'll end it all. Because words have power. But then there are those who say, I'll spend my life and I'll find a way to communicate something positive in somebody else's life. I'll simply post it on Facebook or Instagram. I will text somebody in the morning to let them know, hey, God loves you. Hey, today's going to be a good day for you. Hey, today something's going to open up for you. I'm praying that the job opens up for you. I'm praying that you get the house. I ain't got to have it. I just want to see God bless.
Yes.
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 Because what we say makes a difference in somebody's life. And the Hooping Sermon is a life-changing sermon that will help us live better lives to show that we truly do have faith in God.
Yes.
Because you can learn a lot about a person by what they say. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray now that you would help us live a life that shows we have faith in you. Help us, Lord God, not to consider gossip as a necessary part of our lives. It doesn't even matter what the world does. It matters what we do as those who say we are Christian. Help us, Lord God, to speak words that lift people. Help us, Lord God, that we may begin to speak words that transform someone's life for the better. Help us, Lord God, to be used of you as your vessels to say to somebody who is beaten down by the world, get up and walk. Help us, Lord God, to say to somebody that is trapped in a life of sin where they feel as though nobody cares about them, nobody loves them. Help us to speak words of life that says God loves you. God cares about you. Help us to be uplifting. Lord God, if they had the ability to capture all the words that we ever spoke, we pray that our words would be positive. Our words would make a difference in people's lives. Our words would be those that bring your name glory. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, as we stand all over the sanctuary, I want to challenge you. Before you take part in gossip, before you listen to gossip, before you begin to spread gossip, stop and think, am I being destructive or am I being uplifting? Does what I say show that I truly have faith in God? Maybe you're here right now, my brother, my sister, and you know that you've had a life where people have spoke so much negativity over you. It started when you were young, where mama and them, grandmama and them said you were nothing, and that they didn't want you. You would not amount to much. You may have dated somebody who tried to destroy your self-esteem to let you know that you're ugly, you're too big, you're too this, you're too that, to let you know you did not matter. I want you to know, my brother and my sister, that God did not make a mistake when he created you. When God formed and fashioned you, he had you in his mind. He knew exactly what he was doing when he made you. Maybe there's been so many words of destruction spoken over your life that you need to know that. That you need to know that you truly are fearfully and wonderfully made. That you matter to God. You matter so much to God that he was willing to wrap himself in flesh. He was willing to walk the dusty streets of Jerusalem, go about doing good. He was willing to even endure persecution. Not for what he did, but he did it just to let you know that you matter to him. He was willing to be beaten. He was willing to be nailed to a cross. He was willing to die on an old rugged cross to let you know that you matter to him. To let you know that he loves you and wants a relationship with you. And he got up early Sunday morning to also let you know that the negative words that the devil had tried to whisper in your ear to let you know that you've messed up too many times, that you are a failure, that you don't count to anything. He wants to let you know today that the devil's words don't matter. He's already given you victory. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, my brother, my sister, today we give you the opportunity to do that. You don't even have to come down to give me your hand. We invite you to pray a collective prayer because it's a relationship with you and God. We pray this collective prayer to let you know that you are in this with somebody else. This is not a journey that you walk by yourself, but there are brothers and sisters who are willing to speak life into you. When the world keeps trying to tell you now, there are others who are in this church that will say to you that you are somebody, that you are beautiful, that you are important, that you are wonderfully made. So we pray a collective prayer to let you know that you're not in this journey by yourself. Simply repeat after me. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I've fallen short. But I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day to save me. And because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Because somebody made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And we celebrate that. We thank God for that. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Now, brothers and sisters.